Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Leon Kurtzer, CEO of Jubilee Metals. Welcome back, Leon.
Thank you, Phil. Thanks for the opportunity again.
Today we've just seen Jubilee's unaudited interim financial report for H1 2024, revealing strong operational performance marked by increased production across all operations, particularly in Zambian copper operations, with a 46.5% rise in production. Chrome concentrate production also saw growth. Strategic investments of $12.9 million and a successful equity placement of £13 million demonstrate the company's commitment to expansion. However, challenges such as decreased PGM revenue, increased production costs, and a reduction in cash reserves highlight the need for continued operational efficiency and financial management. Would you like to add some colour to this report, please, Leon?
Thanks for that, Phil. As you've just said, Jubilee has released its results. Really one of those results that bucked the trend. If you look at the past couple of weeks, news was filled with companies regarded as our peers that are reporting negative revenues, negative earnings, drops over the past. And we've bucked that trend by showing increase across the board, increase in our revenues, increase in our production, and increase in our earnings. And what this really shows is that our forward-looking strategy, where we've informed the market that in South Africa, our core pillar, which is chrome production and the growth of the chrome production, is starting to bear fruits in many areas, from its capacity, the number of tons we make, the earnings per ton growth as expected as we start producing more and more of our own material. And that is expected to continue to grow through the coming 6 months for this financial period. But excitingly as well, as a result, so our venture into copper, where we look to replicate that success on leveraging off our in-house processing excellence to deliver projects to produce copper from materials, reefs, and wastes overlooked by industry, is also starting to stand up and be counted. And with a significant increase in production and yet another significant increase in production expected for this six-month period, as that investment into copper comes to fruition with the completion of the upgrade of our Roan concentrator, which is expected to be that next significant step up in copper production, while simultaneously we expanding our copper resource base. Project Monkoi showing particularly exciting results and its ability to produce and feed copper to Sable Refinery. Parallel to that is the development of our OB or waste project alongside our partner in Abu Dhabi in the IRH. That project now completing its final due diligence for that partnership and set to have a significant impact on our copper production into the future. So really copper coming together at a nice time where we're showing the industry being diversified, both in chrome and copper, the value it brings to our company, where despite some of the metal prices in the portfolio facing severe downward trends in prices, we're still able to grow our earnings across our metal portfolio. So all in all, a good result. Others may be key items that you can draw out of the results, the capitalization reducing in the company as we're now coming towards the end of that heavy capital cycle where we were expanding both our chrome, EGMs and our copper business and coming to the end of its cycle. The growth in our margin in both chrome and copper as that expansion now starts coming through in the company. So looking forward, definitely an exciting period for us as we implement these key pillars and grow these key pillars in our business.
Yeah, I mean, you really are bucking the trend right now in terms of miners and in production anyway, because a lot of them have obviously had negative things, and especially the ones in the PGM scenario, platinum group metals, those that are not sure what that is all about. So that is good. But that also states quite clearly that the main driver in the last period of time has been the chrome. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the strength of the chrome price and how that has helped you?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we made the decision 2 years ago that first and foremost, we'd established in the industry our processing capability. We did that through tolling agreements where we processed other people's material for a tolling fixed fee. Once established, we took the decisive decision to then migrate from a tolling agreement onto processing our own material with the true value of our processing ability could be demonstrated. And as we informed the market, we set to constantly increase that component of the business. Tootsie came along. We elected to build the second plant at Tootsie to expand that component as well. And as we said, we are chasing down that 2 million ton per annum chrome concentrate target. It'll make us one of the biggest in the world of processing chrome concentrates while we grow the margin from our chrome projects. It was a key South African pillar. It was a pillar for the stability of our business while we then start focusing on expanding that entry into copper into Zambia with the implementation of both of our refinery, Rowan Copper Concentrator, and then the exciting overburden waste rock project we brought to the market last year in partnership with the IRH from Abu Dhabi. So South Africa is growing. It's a self-funding entity within the company. It's funding its own growth through its positive cash flows. While in Zambia, we are now rolling out a strategy to step up that copper production significantly in the coming months.
So if you had to look forward, Leon, sort of 12 months from now, and these results came next year, what sort of percentages do you expect would PGMs, chrome, and copper be as part of your mix in terms of revenues and profitability?
On revenue basis, our revenues, purely because of the sheer magnitude of chrome we make, will be dominated by chrome revenues because of the two, you know, we're sipping towards 1.6, 1.8 million tons for next year of chrome product. Therefore, our chrome revenues will be dominant. When you look at the earnings split, what you can expect is copper to more than treble its percentage of earnings in our company as it starts taking a bigger and bigger portion of total earnings being generated from copper. Copper in the back of the Rowan implementation is set to more than double its production of copper in the coming period. With that, one can expect not only your revenues to double in copper, but also your cost per ton of copper to become even more competitive as the impact of volume coming through your refinery has the effect on diluting your fixed costs. So one can expect looking forward that our earnings profile being dominated by chrome on the one side and copper. PGMs as a byproduct from our chrome operations will continue to be profitable, will continue to offer additional earnings, but we are forecasting a flat PGM price for the coming periods until the market finds its new balance between supply and demand of PGMs. And for us, as a company where our pillar is chrome and our growing pillar is copper, it puts us in a very strong position on the PGM side as a byproduct to benefit from any market reactions out of the PGM space as well.
Yeah, so it's pretty clear that Jubilee, and it was Jubilee Platinum Metals at one point, is no longer Jubilee Platinum Metals, basically. It's Jubilee Metals, and those metals are going to be chrome and copper. If I put you in a time-traveling machine and took you, say, 3 years out, are we talking about probably you're going to be dominated by copper more than chrome? I'm not suggesting chrome isn't going to be a big part of the business. But can you foresee that the copper will overtake the chrome in terms of what it will add to the bottom line?
Oh, absolutely. At the rate that copper is expected to expand, one can forecast based on current assumptions that copper is set to overtake chrome relatively quickly on its expansion of the copper. You know, we've stated to the market, we're chasing down 25,000 tons of copper and beyond with the OB project coming on stream. And at that rate, it definitely is set to overtake chrome. And as you just earlier said about Jubilee Platinum and Jubilee Metals, it's so fundamentally important in this industry we are that as boards and as strategic leaders, that we are ensuring that our strategy adjusts and reacts to market dynamics, especially if there are permanent or fundamental shifts in the market. As we've seen in chrome, with the support of the chrome prices coming through, as the world believes in copper, as the demand for copper is set to grow with its supply chain constraints. And I think that's really demonstrating Jubilee's ability to use this processing excellence and deploy it into metals that looks forward towards what the world requires and needs in its metal portfolio.
Yeah, and I suppose if we look at IRH, that there's not much chance they would have invested the quantum of money that they have just invested by buying 51% of Mopani if they didn't think there was a future in copper.
Oh, absolutely. Copper is a fundamental component of their investment portfolio. One can fully expect that their investment into copper won't stop at Mopani, and they firmly believe in the fundamentals of copper. What Jubilee brings to that partnership is the access to copper material that the industry had overlooked. And it's the access to copper material that can be brought on stream so quickly. If you look at our total copper spent in capital in Zambia compared to the tons of copper we're bringing on stream this year, it also shows how capital light the copper is that Jubilee is able to bring to market.
Okay, very good. Now, what I was going to say to you as well is just give us an idea of the quantum of the slag project that is there now at Mopani that you've obviously signed and you've gone through a process now, or sorry, you're starting the process now to effectively start the modular system to place these modules on that project. So give us just a little bit more information about how that's going to happen and when you foresee that those modules are going to be in place and ready to go.
Yeah, so if you look at our copper business, there are three critical areas of expansions we're driving. On the one hand, before we get to the slag project, is at Sable itself. At Sable, as we've told the market, we're expanding even the Sable refinery operations to expand the copper sulfide area. We're doing that because we have identified numerous projects similar to Project Munkoyo. Project Munkoyo is only 35 to 40 kilometers away from Sable. It offers access to copper quality reef material at surface that requires the expertise we bring to unlock that copper. So we foresee that one can expect a number of more Munkoyo projects to come on stream for Jubilee. The second component and area of focus is, of course, Roan, where Roan's expansion offers us the ability to process a multitude of feed streams simultaneously through its facility. We've already secured the first resource, and we are quite in advanced discussions of securing the second resource for Roan as well, as one can expect Roan to become a significant operational unit within the portfolio. Then, yes, there's the third key focus, which is this waste rock project that we've secured and partnering with the IRH. Its capacity is significant, as we say in our market update, using a very conservative density for the material. It is no less than 260 to 270 million tons, likely to be a lot bigger than that. Within that area, it is able to carry 3 to 4 Roan-sized projects in its own right. And we look to roll out roughly 2 initially onto that project. So when you start extrapolating the copper units in capacity that we are able to bring on stream beyond Sable, where we've said we're stepping up to 16,000 tons, Roan with its capacity up to 13,000 tons. And we foresee that the Obi project is more than capable of stepping up to 25,000 tons and beyond in its own right as a copper project. That excludes, of course, the other waste portfolios where our R&D teams are working on, which is our tailings portfolio, where in the tailings, our R&D team is looking to simplify that process flow sheet, to lower the capital numbers required on that tailings as we look to unlock even that value, which the industry has written off as valueless in the portfolio.
So Leon, is that 260 million tons of contained copper?
It's 260 million tons of rock, which contains copper within that. The copper contained in that could vary because it's been placed there over many, many, many years. We are running drill programs at the moment across the reef. And as we showed earlier in our results, from surface samples running at nearly 1.3% copper in those surface samples, one can expect that to have a very high variability across that dam. Its sheer expanse of that material is so large. So you could have anything from 750 to 1.5 million tons of copper within that resource alone, all at surface and ready for the process.
So even if we took the million tons of contained copper in terms of that, the sheer magnitude and quantity of revenue from that over a period of, let's say, 15 to 20 years is staggering. Like, I mean, we're talking billions and billions of dollars, no?
Well, it is staggering. What's staggering is this is only one of the opportunities in Zambia. You know, as much as we've done Project Munkoyo to demonstrate how you take these, what is regarded as small-scale mines, into a proper surface resource able to be processed through our facility. And there are many such more opportunities in Zambia. So too is this waste rock project just one of the examples of how do you apply our processing ability and techniques onto that style of material? And I think that's what really impressed our JV partner, the IRH, as well, as how rapidly we are able to take those samples and profile it through our laboratories, through our development centers, and come up with a design and then partner with a construction company to implement those solutions. That timelines are extremely short compared to what is expected in the industry. It means within an 8-month period, we can deploy plants already. We can, you know, and we're deploying plants for less than $10 to $15 million per unit compared to what the industry norm has become. And that's the strength and ability and agility we've got in this market.
Very good. And I mean, tell me, what could trip you up? Because ultimately, I'm looking at this situation now and saying, well, you sort of started a snowball, and this snowball is gathering pace fast. What could trip you up here?
Well, I suppose this world is a funny place where we live in at the moment. There are many things happening which is unforeseen by companies, uncontrolled by companies like us. Logistics was a classic example that hit the South African shores and the international market. And we had to overcome those by readjusting where do we secure what parts of our processing modules. One can never discount regional politics within a region, I suppose. But again, in Zambia, which has got such a stable region for jurisdiction for mining, it's a classic example where through their democracy, they've had change of power, which is seamless, quite novel in Africa, and highly respected by so many African countries, of how Zambia does that. So, I mean, there will always be variables outside of our control. But if you take the variables within our control at the moment and with the facts on the table right now, you're quite right that there's a snowball effect that's happened. And it offers us an extremely exciting potential at the moment for our future to deliver these modules, to capitalize on the fact that we are the first mover into these materials, as we were in chrome, to reach these numbers of 1.5 million tons per annum and soon 1.8 million tons of chrome because of that first mover advantage and the speed at which we run. It's really difficult for other companies to catch up on what we are doing.
Yeah, and I'm looking at an EBIT of 11.7 million pounds as we speak. In the next 1, 2, 3 years, that figure really, even if all the metal prices stay as they are, which is not what's being predicted, but we can't do anything about that. This 11.7 million pound EBIT could be child's play in the next 1, 2, 3 years. Is that fair to say or not?
Yeah, that is quite fair, Kevin. I mean, the 11.7, of course, is just for the 6-month period and includes low throughputs as the copper is starting to increase now. So one can expect a significant shift in that earnings profile as copper as it steps up, equally in chrome, as more and more of the chrome is produced via our own resources rather than toll alone. One can expect the margin in your chrome operation beyond increasing in revenue, that there's an increase in margin to come through. So it definitely offers the potential for the company to significantly grow its earnings in a multiple rather than sheer percentage points.
Yeah, I mean, sorry for doing back of the fag packet calculations, as we call them. But I mean, you're looking 3 years from now, and I think you could have tenfolded your EBITDA quite easily based on what is ahead.
Sure. I mean, one can only look at the copper fundamentals. It is so strong at the moment. There's enough research in the market that supports that copper fundamental view. You look at the chrome at the moment, the chrome market, which is under severe pressure on supply. You've seen the results come through from many of these producers. And yes, you're facing a potential period of strong metal prices into the two core pillars of our company at a time when we are rapidly expanding both pillars.
Yeah. And also, though we've said that it's not going to play a very, very significant role, the PGMs have been absolutely battered. So though you're saying you think the price is going to stay much the same, I'm not even sure that it can, because supply has got to be coming off the market fast because people are losing money producing it at the minute. And therefore, we will get another cycle of the pendulum going straight back up again because there's not enough of it.
Oh, absolutely. And just to qualify my quote, is you're quite right. The PGM price is dependent on the supply-demand coming back into balance. And the quicker that balance is reached, the faster the PGM price will again respond and react to that PGM demand. And we are perfectly poised to benefit from such a reaction in the PGM market. And you're quite right. There's an expectation of PGM ounces to come off market at the moment, especially the high cost producers to come off market. And where we are placed within the PGM space as a byproduct from our chrome operations, we are well positioned to benefit from any such reaction in the market.
Yep. So I think congratulations that you've managed to maintain a company that's profitable, EBIT positive, and this expansion ahead of you looks extremely exciting. The last week of April, first week of May, we're going to be visiting yourself in South Africa and also then going up to Zambia, and we will visit the Roan plant again and maybe, what's that, Kabwe, is it, again? So
yes.
we will see the progress in all of those things. And I'm not sure whether we will see Mopani, but ultimately it's so big and a big pile of rubbish at the minute. If I don't know that there's that much to see right now, but we're certainly looking forward to that trip.
Absolutely. No, we'd love to come and see you. And as you said, it'd be wonderful for you to compare the progress that was made from your previous visit, especially at you know, places like our Roan facility and our Sable facility, and the expansion that both these facilities have undergone.
Indeed.
Leon Kurtzer, CEO of Jubilee Metals, thanks very much for your time.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.